Welcome to Navigate in Faith. I'm Daniel Ochoa, your host and author. This channel isn't about Hollywood-style Christianity. It's about equipping men and women to live lives that truly reflect Christ as we await His return. And be sure to visit my website, timeisrunningoutthebook.com. In today's lesson, we're going to be discussing the topic of how to pick the right shirt. We're going to look at three main things to avoid when picking a biblical church with sound teaching. In a small town in the early 1900s, a growing congregation decided it was time to purchase a new organ for their worship service. The organ was an expensive investment, but they believed that it would enhance their music ministry and bring beauty to their worship. After much fundraising and sacrifice, the organ was purchased and installed. However, over time, something unexpected happened. Instead of focusing on worship, many in the congregation became fixated on the organ itself. Arguments broke out over who should play it, what style of music should be performed, and even how loud it should be. Eventually, these arguments grew so intense that the church split into two factions, each accusing the other of neglecting God's true purpose. What began as a tool for worship became the source of division, and the mission of the church, worshiping God and spreading the gospel, was overshadowed by personal preferences and consumerism. Now, when it comes to choosing a church, it's not as simple as it might seem. Unfortunately, many people today approach this decision with the mindset of picking a country club rather than a spiritual home. They often focus on superficial conveniences rather than the core mission of the church. Questions like, does this church have a coffee and snack bar so I can enjoy a latte during the sermon? Or is there a playground or jungle gym for my kids to stay entertained while I'm in the service? These things reflect a consumer-driven mindset. Some even consider, is the church big enough for me to remain anonymous so I don't have to get involved? And of course, please don't pass the plate around asking for money. I'm already struggling with my own bills. These concerns, while understandably on the surface, shift the focus from what truly matters. Then there's the appeal of the message tailored to personal desires. Sermons promising how to tap into God's blessing for material gain, or how to unlock success, or how to achieve happiness. After all, isn't that what God wants for my life, to be happy? These are the very traps that can lead someone to choose a church for all the wrong reasons, ignoring the true purpose of a church: to worship God, to grow in faith, to come together as a family, and to equip believers to fulfill His mission. Jesus didn't establish the church for our comfort. He established it to transform our lives, build community, and advance His kingdom. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus declares, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The church is meant to be a spiritual force, not a social club. I like what C.S. Lewis once said, "I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." I love that quote because it challenges us to reconsider our expectations for church. It's not about comfort, but commitment. A place where we are shaped, challenged, and prepared to serve God and others. Earlier this year, my wife and I joined a new church, and as part of the process, we completed a 20-minute online questionnaire designed to identify our spiritual gifts and how we might use them to serve within the church. I absolutely love that approach. It felt intentional and purposeful, encouraging every member to contribute in a meaningful way. Unfortunately, in many churches today, only about 20% of the congregation takes on the majority of the work that keeps the church running. This imbalance not only places a heavy burden on a small group, but also robs the rest of the congregation of joy and growth that come from serving. The first step in finding a good church is shifting our mindset from, "What can this church do for me?" to, "How can I grow here and contribute to God's work?" Let's look at three things to avoid when looking for a church. Avoidance number one, the prosperity-focused church. Prosperity-focused churches often center its teaching on personal success, wealth, and tapping into one's inner potential. While these messages can sound uplifting, it dangerously overlooks the reality of our Christian walk namely the call to self-denial, the reality of suffering, and the transformative power of aligning one's life with God's will. Many faithful believers, including the persecution experienced by early disciples and the countless Christians worldwide throughout history, understood this reality. Prosperity churches often avoid addressing sin, repentance, and the foundational message of being born again, which Jesus mentioned in John 3:3. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Without this transformation, our lives may pursue success and comfort, but they will lack the internal significance of God's desire for us. If you're interested in what it means to be born again, I did a lesson called Being Born Again. In this lesson, I fully dive into what it really looks like. While prosperity churches may inspire people to chase success and worldly goals, they often fail to address the heart of the gospel, the transformation of the lives to reflect Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us of this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. This profound renewal is often sidelined in favor of motivational speeches. Many people leave these churches feeling inspired to pursue worldly ambitions, yet they lack the spiritual tools to pursue holiness, resist sin, or deepen their relationship with God. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus warned against such a focus. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Without the authentic gospel being preached, even large congregations with apparent success may amount to the blind leading the blind, as Jesus described in Matthew 15:14. Another major concern is how prosperity churches often compromise biblical truth to align with social trends. Rather than standing on a firm foundation of God's word, they adjust their message to maintain popularity and acceptance. To go against the world may cause them to lose members, and they aren't willing to do that. Paul warned us about this in Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. While their approach may draw large crowds, it dilutes the essence of Christianity, leading many astray. True churches do not compromise on God's moral law, but cause believers to repentance, transformation, and the pursuit of holiness. In contrast, genuine Christian faith challenges us to embrace a life of holiness and self-denial. Jesus calls us to take up our cross daily in Luke 9:23, a far cry from the message of ease and success often heard in prosperity churches. True gospel teaching urges believers to align their lives with God's will, seek righteousness, and store up treasures in heaven, which is found in Matthew 6:20. The prosperity-focused church aims at earth, success, comfort, and acceptance, leaving its followers spiritually vulnerable. A true church equips believers with the truth of God's word, enabling them to live transformed lives that glorify God and withstand the trials of the world. I like what C.S. Lewis once said, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." When choosing a church, look for one that teaches the complete gospel: sin, repentance, grace, and transformation. A church that inspires you not to conquer the world, but to surrender to Christ, allowing Him to transform your life for His glory. Please understand that setting goals and pursuing success in earthly endeavors is not inherently wrong. However, when those goals become our primary focus, there's a significant risk of disappointment when circumstances fail to align with our desires. Placing the pursuit of worldly achievements above seeking God's kingdom leaves us vulnerable to emptiness. Avoidance number two, a church that overemphasizes grace while neglecting accountability. While the message of God's grace is central to the gospel, an overemphasis on grace without addressing the responsibility of believers can lead to a shallow understanding of faith. Grace is not a license to continue to sin. It is the foundation for transformation. We need to understand that Jesus didn't come to save us just from our sins, but to save us from the condition we were in. The Word of God is not meant to be a mere intellectual exercise or a passive activity. It is meant to be lived out, shaping our thoughts, attitudes, and action. Churches that solely focus on grace may leave their congregation with a false sense of security, fostering complacency rather than genuine spiritual growth. Grace, when properly understood, is the unmerited favor of God that saves us from sin. But salvation isn't the end of the journey, it's the beginning. As Paul reminds us in Romans 6, 1 through 2, what shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul also exhorts believers to live transformed lives in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in an attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Grace is the power that enables us to live in obedience to God's word, not an excuse to remain unchanged. Churches that fail to teach accountability risk creating an environment where attendees feel content with attending service without reflecting Christ in their daily life. This shallow approach to faith often lacks in the depth necessary to navigate trials, resist sin, and pursue holiness. We must have a balanced view of God's grace and accountability. The Bible emphasizes that grace and accountability go hand in hand. Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commands." True love for Christ is reflected in our obedience to his teachings. A church should encourage believers to live lives that honor God by teaching the full counsel of Scripture, including both the promises of grace and the responsibility of faith. Being a Christian doesn't mean living a perfect life. It means wanting to live a perfect life, but not for me, for Jesus. After all, didn't Jesus live a perfect life for us? Paul's letters are filled with instructions on how believers should live. In Colossians 3, he writes about putting off the old self and embracing virtues like compassion, kindness, humility, and forgiveness. James provides a powerful reminder for us in James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. A true church calls its members to live out their faith in tangible ways. It challenges believers to serve, love, forgive, and grow in their relationship with God. It teaches that while we were saved by grace, Jesus also called us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance found in Matthew 3:8. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian who stood against the Nazis, wrote this: "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ." True grace transforms lives. It moves us towards discipleship and away from complacency. When evaluating a church, look for one that teaches the full gospel, one that celebrates God's grace while also holding believers accountable to the lives that reflect Christ. Such a church will encourage spiritual growth, challenge you to put off your old self, and inspire you to live in a way that glorifies God. Avoid churches that leave you comfortable in your sin. Instead, seek one that propels you towards holiness and purpose. Why do you think Jesus said the road to heaven will be very narrow and only a few find it? It's because only a few are willing to die to themselves and start living for Christ. We must understand that going to church is not about information, it's about transformation. I've always said that attending church, Sunday school class, and engaging in daily scripture study is the easy part. The real challenge lies in taking what we have learned and applying it in our daily lives. It's about being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Avoidance number three, avoid a church that prioritizes entertainment over worship and truth. When my wife and I were searching for a church about a year ago, I lost count of how many times I felt more like I was attending a concert than a worship service. At one church, they were even handing out earplugs at the entrance to the sanctuary for those who wanted them. It left us wondering if we were there to experience God or to be entertained. We must understand that worship is about God, not about us. True worship isn't about how entertained and emotionally moved we feel during the service. It's about glorifying God. Jesus reminds us of this in John 4:23 through 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship should be God-centered, not man-centered. If a church spends more time orchestrating a concert-like experience rather than leading people to bow their hearts in reverence to God, it may be a sign that priorities are misplaced. Paul cautions Timothy about substance over style in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. This is why it's so hard to find a good church today. It's because we arrived at the era that Paul is speaking about. A.W. Tozer once said, "Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us." Churches that prioritize entertainment often fail to cultivate deep spiritual roots in their members. While trials come, these individuals may struggle or even leave Christianity altogether because they were not equipped with the sound doctrine and a firm foundation in Christ. Remember, faith isn't about being entertained, it's about being transformed. Seek a church that values substance over style, where the gospel is preached boldly and worship is centered on God. True spiritual nourishment comes from a church committed to leading its congregation into a deeper relationship with Christ, not merely entertaining the masses. Well, I hope you enjoyed this lesson. If you did, don't forget to hit the like button and don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, God bless, and I hope to see you all in our Father's home.